Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you so much for this walk that you've got us on and the glory of your Holy Spirit in us, Lord, and the life of Christ that we walk in, Lord, and I thank you for that. That the glory of the Lord, we go from that glory to glory as we study and meditate on the Word of God. And I praise you, Father, for bringing us into the star, the moon, and the sun glory. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we can expect and know through faith in you that you're going to bring that about in us. And Lord, we just praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for blessing the people out there, and that this Bible study would be a blessing to them. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the star, the moon, and the sun glory. We're at that time, you know. We are in the end times, and being in the end times, we need to know these things. You know, the life of Christ is actually the glory of God, and that what God is seeking is that glory manifested in each one of us. That's what he calls the fruit, and that's what he calls sonship, and that's also what he calls perfection or holiness. Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. Now that word manifested is really a good term, because it doesn't give the meaning of a physical appearance. The meaning of manifested here is to cause to shine, to make visible. And obviously the life of Christ is being birthed in us, but it's not visible to the world around us yet. And it's similar to bringing forth a child. There's a time when the fruit is visible and it's seen. And the fruit we want is the fruit of Christ. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall be made visible, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. This glory is the shining forth of the righteousness and the purity and the truth of God. Now let's talk a little bit about growing from that glory to glory. In 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, as we all know, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. That glory is the life of Christ. It's imputed to us by walking in obedience to the Word of God. It becomes an actual part of our life, our nature, and our thoughts. But we grow from glory to glory. Now, I'd like to take a little study here on those glories a little bit to see what they are and how to progress through those glories. And we know that as we behold the glory of the Lord, that we're transformed into that image from glory to glory. But the Word speaks about getting a greater and greater revelation of the Lord in the mirror that's a little bit different. 1 Corinthians 13 and 10. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Folks, that perfection is the fruit. It's the glory of God. It's sonship. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I put away childish things. Now what he's talking about here is coming to perfection, coming to maturity. And that's the same word being used is completion. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror darkly. Folks, we understand from 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we see Jesus in a mirror and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. But you don't start out seeing the clear image of Jesus, do you? We see him somewhat. And as we grow in knowledge and understanding of the Word, we come into a more of a revelation of who he really is. Now, a lot of us have known a false Jesus, a Jesus that's not the real Jesus, because we had an immature idea of what Jesus is like. But as we discover his will and his desire and his power and his nature in the Word, we come into a greater revelation. The word darkly here in the Greek means in a riddle. A riddle is something that the truth is hidden in. And the Bible's kind of that away. Proverbs 25:2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." He has hidden the face of Christ in here for those that really desire to come into the revelation of who he is and to walk in that and to see him in the mirror. Folks, it's a progressive thing. So he says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face." And he's talking about when that which is perfect is come. You see, the closer we get to the end, the more we see that true image of Jesus. We come to know him as he is, as we become more and more familiar with God's Word, and that's his nature, and he is the Word, right? Verse 12, "For now we see in the mirror, in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known." In other words, what he's saying is, when that which is perfect is come, knowing in part is seeing dimly, darkly, in the mirror, in a riddle, in the mirror. But knowing fully is coming to know the true Jesus. You need to come to know him, because when you look in the mirror, that's your gift. You're reaching out in your faith to receive all that he is, because he made reconciliation for you. He made that exchange for you. And it goes on to say in verse 13, "But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love." And so we're growing in this glory to glory revelation, and we're growing in the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Now I'd like to look at the stages of glory in this Christian walk, in this Christian growth that we're talking about here. 1 Corinthians 15:35 says, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what manner of body do they come?" Verse 36, "Thou foolish one, that which thou thyself sowest is not quickened, except it die." And so we're talking about the kinds of bodies that Christians are going to have. 37, "And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other kind, but God gives it a body even as it pleased him, and to each seed a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fishes." Well, what's the point that God's making here? He's speaking of the difference in the earthly flesh that all creatures have. And so he's also likening this in the resurrected body. There's also going to be a difference. Verse 40, "There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the body of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. We are sown a terrestrial or earthly body, but will come forth a celestial or heavenly body." That is, of course, a much higher creation than this one we're in now. But now he tells us the secret that a lot of people don't know about. Verse 41, There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Did you see that? There are different glories, star, moon, and sun glory, or S-O-N glory. And even the stars have a different glory from another. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. In other words, not everybody's going to have the same body, because they're not going to have the glory when they're finished here. And I'm about to prove that to you through the scriptures. 42, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. And if you remember, we saw that the spiritual bodies are different. And it goes on and says, if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Then, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, let us, that's in the numerics, folks, let us also bear the image of the heavenly. Folks, that's what it says in the original. In the numerics and in the ancient manuscripts, it doesn't say we shall bear the image of the heavenly. It says, let us. And too many people like we shall, because it doesn't give them any responsibility right now. But it says, let us also bear the image of the heavenly. Where are we to bear the image of the heavenly? In the hereafter? No. We start right here. As we know, God starts that. He starts it first spirit, then soul, and then ultimately body. We see that sonship starts first in your spirit. That's the spirit of Christ. Then through your obedience to the spirit, your soul is born again through the living word of God. And then ultimately, if you born fruit there, you receive that new body. Praise God forevermore. And he's commanding us, let us also bear the image of the heavenly, he says. So how do we do that? Well, this glorious body that we receive, the star, moon, and sun glory body, are all given because of the star, moon, and sun glory life. Folks, there is a difference of reward, and the Bible teaches us that. Now, let's take a look at a good example of God using these different glories as types of bodies of people on the earth. Now, the following scripture deals with the dream that Joseph had after he had the dream of the sheaves of his brethren bowing down to his sheaves. This is the second dream, Genesis 37:9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed yet a dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father kept the saying in mind. In other words, he was thinking about it, wasn't he? It might be something spiritual here. Maybe there's something I ain't really seen yet. But if you look and see what God likened his people to, Joseph himself was likened to one of the stars who had been separated from his brethren for the purpose of reigning. And God's doing that now, folks. He's raising up a man-child ministry right here for all of them. And if you'll notice that all of God's people are stars, but there is one that is called the moon. That's the mother in this case. In Revelation 12, the mother's position, of course, was standing on the moon. That's her position in God, standing on the moon. And she brought forth the man child, who in this case was Joseph as a type of a man child. And the father was the son. Jesus is called the father of eternity because he's the one who sows the seed in us that brings forth the fruit of himself, of Christ. And we see here that God is using the sun, the moon, and star glory as types or groups of his people. And now, if you want to look first at what these stars represent, we can see that God said this to Abraham a couple of times. Let's go to Genesis 22 and 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So here we are the seed of Abraham, who's the father of us all. The Bible calls us stars. We all start out our life as star glory, but we don't end up that way, thank God. Glory represents righteousness. It represents the percentage of the life of Christ. If you start out as star glory, for instance, as you're the first born again, you have a glory. All stars have their own glory. And this comes into the parables more and more as we look at moon and sun glory in comparison. And in a way, the stars are separated one from another. And they have their own glory. They have their own righteousness. Every star has a percentage of the righteousness of the Lord because we're born again. We get a new spirit, don't we? We're a born again spirit from God. That spirit is full of the glory of God. We had a fallen spirit, and now suddenly we got that born again spirit. It's called the Spirit of Christ in Romans chapter 8. But even though we have this righteousness of God, we have self righteousness as well. And that's what keeps us apart. Just like the stars up in the sky are separated. Now, if you consider Christ to be the sun, they are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And that's good, but they are separated from one another. Now, here's a different example that tells us about the stars in Daniel chapter 12. Start out in 3. And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Folks, there's going to be a great revival coming in these end times. And those people who have had no glory whatsoever are going to suddenly walk in the glory of God in a percentage, and star glory represents the 30-fold percentage. There are 3 bearings of fruit according to the parable of the sower. There's a 30, 60, and a 100-fold. And these were the ones that entered the kingdom. So star glory is the beginning, and it represents 30-fold fruit. Many are going to be turned to righteousness as the star, like the Bible says. But after star glory, we got another stage that we have to grow to. And again, what the Lord showed us was that the stars were separated one from another, and they have their own glory. This, in a way, separates them because glory is righteousness. Now, we still have some self-righteousness, and we have some God-righteousness. That self-righteousness keeps us from becoming one. Now, the next stage we grow into is moon glory. Now, here's a really good demonstration of moon glory in Romans chapter 6. Let's start out in verse 3. Or are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We have to become united with Christ in the likeness of his death to reach moon glory. Because the moon is dead, it doesn't have any righteousness of its own. It only reflects the sun. It's given up its own righteousness to reflect only the righteousness of the sun. That's all the moon can do because it's dead. But it's also one. Many stars are separate because of their own glory, just like we saw. Denominations are separated from one another because of self-righteousness. People separate from one another due to self-righteousness because they're immature and they're factious, dividing into and denominating from one another. What Jesus prayed, he said that they may be one even as we are one in John 17 and 22. But instead, because of their self-righteousness, they are proud. They resist the word of God and they fight against their brethren. And through death to self, we become united with one another. That's the second stage. That's the moon glory. And like the moon, it says we become united with him in the likeness of his death. And we also shall be united with him in his resurrection. That's the sun glory. And as we walk through the phases of death to self, we come to the resurrection life. That is a hundredfold sun glory. Folks, that's completion. That's perfection. That's sonship that we've been talking about. We're already sons of God by faith, but we're walking into it through the death, burial, and resurrection that these three glories represent. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Death to that old man, death to that old self, that's how we come into the resurrection life of Christ. We ain't got no light of our own, but we reflect only that light that comes from him. Now let's go a little bit deeper into this revelation of the moon glory. Revelation 12 and 1 says, and a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Everything is represented here. The sun, the moon, and the stars. This woman gives birth to the man-child. That's the first fruit, it's called in Revelation 14. And that man-child ministry that's coming forth is the first fruits of those who come into sun glory. And it's by grace. It's by his calling and by his direction. And it's going to come to pass, folks. The woman here is the corporate mother of this corporate man-child. Those 12 stars around her head are her children, and it also represents the doctrine of the 12 apostles around her mind. There's a lot of things you could see there that might all be correct because God is big, folks, and he can hide an awful lot of things in a revelation. Moon glory is not yet perfect, nor is star glory. And God tells us so in Job. Neither of these are quite clean in his eyes, nor quite finished in his eyes. Job 25 and 5, behold, even the moon hath no brightness, and the stars are not pure in his sight. God's looking for something greater than moon glory and greater than star glory. He's looking for the resurrection life of Christ in us, which is the most brilliant glory. And he goes on to say in verse 6, how much less man that is a worm, and the son of man that is a worm. God looks on a lost man as a creature of the dirt of the earth. And nothing more than a worm. That's pretty low, folks. But This dirt is made to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his purpose. And without that, we're not fulfilling the will of God. We're growing, and the people of God will grow through the process, especially in the days to come, from star glory to moon glory to sun glory. Praise be to God. Isaiah has a pretty good revelation of this growth that's going to come to pass in the tribulation to come. Isaiah 30 and 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. Praise God. Those who grow through this death to self are going to come into that resurrection light. That's just what we read about in Romans chapter 6, right? Verse 26. Moreover, in Isaiah 30. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. Well, here's a revelation, folks. Sevenfold here means that God is going to bring forth that fruit out of all the church. All 7 churches. He's going to bring forth a fruit out of them. That's going to come into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, ain't all of them going to come into the sun glory, but it will be spread throughout the church, hence sevenfold. And it's going to be as the light of 7 days, meaning the tribulation period he's talking about. The time that the Bible calls the tribulation period is the time of the most growth for God's people, because they're going to go through their wilderness experience at that time. They're learning to give up themselves, learning to come into faith relationship with God in the wilderness. Spiritual growth shall be extremely fast at that time because of the great latter rain outpouring, which comes on the morning of the 3rd day, like Hosea said. Isaiah 30 and 26 says, Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the hurt of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. Folks, God is going to heal his people. He's going to bind up what was broken. Remember that Isaiah 61 anointing of Jesus? Verse 1, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Praise God. God's going to restore his lame, blind people that are walking as lame and blind people. God's going to restore all of that in these days. He called it the latter rain. He said that it would be restoration of all things that the pommel worm, the locust, the canker worm, and the caterpillar in Joel 1 and 4 had taken from his crop for all these years. This is the greatest promise of God that's going to come forth in the days we're fixing to be in. Well, how's that going to take place? Well, here's what Paul said. Look in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. There it is. That's it right there. He's not going to settle for star glory that separates him from his brethren. Okay? Let's go on. Even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. This glory, which is righteousness, shining forth from us, is coming because of our faith in God, not because of our works or our ability, folks. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's sun glory right there. And the fellowship of his suffering, becoming conformed unto his death. That's the unity that God is going to bring his people to. Through death, and this wilderness is a death experience in order to bring God's people into his presence. This unity is going to be that moon glory that brings us to the resurrection life. And what is that resurrection life? Well, verse 11, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect. Folks, that's what the resurrection life is, perfection. It is the sun glory. But I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Well, how did he lay hold on us? Hebrews 10 and 14 says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever
them that are sanctified. He perfected us. Now, we're seeing perfection as resurrection life, and we're seen as the Son Glory people that are going to enter into this thing. Now, the Son Glory is the next stage, 2 Peter 1:19. We have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. When you're in your star glory, that dark place is your soul, because it's the next part of you that needs to be sanctified. God gives us that new spirit first, so we got the power and that connection and the discernment and an ability to walk with Christ. And the next stage that we're looking at is having your soul born again through your obedience to the truth. And that's what Peter said, 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. In other words, when you obey your spirit, your soul's going to be born again. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently. Having been begotten again, that born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. This Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost part. The brightest part of you, the most connected with God part of you, is your spirit. And your soul needs to take on the life of that spirit. So your lamp, your spirit, is shining forth with the oil, the light of the Spirit of God into your soul to regenerate your soul. And what does Peter say? 2 Peter 1:19. And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well, that ye take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. That's where you get the word phosphorus from. Day star comes from phosphorus, meaning light bearing. Now, the archaic meaning of day star was the sun. So when we're talking about the day star rising in your heart, we're talking about the Sun Glory being manifested in you. Praise God. Now, there was an occultic reason for it, but in latter time, people began to call Venus the light bearer. Folks, that is just so ridiculous. Get up in the morning and see if you see Venus. Are you looking for Venus, or do you see that light bearer called the sun? So we got a little bit of evidence here. And we also have the words morning star, Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright, the morning star. The Lord is our bright morning star. So that's another meaning for the glory of the sun. And it says, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So we have an end and we have a purpose, don't we? Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. That dawning light brings you into the perfect light. What's the perfect light? It ain't the evening. It's right in the middle of the day, isn't it? You've got more and more of the light in our life and less shadows, right? You know where the least shadow is? That perfect day is? That's when the sun is straight up overhead. That's our life. When we're walking in nothing but the light of God's word, this word of prophecy made more sure, the word which was given to beget our soul unto him. We are called to manifest Christ in spirit and soul while we walk in this body. Those are stages while we walk in this body. We're putting on Christ. We're putting on this bright garment. Are we talking about a garment for the flesh? No, we're talking about a garment for the soul. Romans 13 and 11, and this, knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. Verse 12, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. What are our works? Well, it says faith without works is dead. It's incomplete. The fruit of faith is works. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These are works, folks, but they are the works that are birthed from your spirit. That's why they're called the fruit of the Spirit. And they're birthed by everybody who walks by faith. So works is the fruit of faith. Don't tell me that you got faith and don't have works. James said, I by my works will show thee my faith in James 2 and 18. Now again, we're not talking about the works of man or the works of the law. What we're talking about is the works of God through you. If you walk by faith, you're going to have the works of God. Romans 13 and 12 says, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And if you'll notice that as you put on the works of light, you're casting off the works of darkness, and that's a garment. You're taking off one garment and putting another on that's called the armor of light. It's not only the works of light, it's the armor of light, because the armor of light is a protection against the enemy that wants to drag you down. Romans 13 and 13 says, let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we put on the armor of light, and we put on the salvation he's talking about. And who is that? That's Jesus Christ. And if you put on the works of the devil, you're putting on the works of darkness. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we're putting on the garment. That's what the Bible calls it. And we're warned that God doesn't want that garment to be polluted or to be stained. Jude 1:23 says, and some save, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So you can have the works of darkness on your clean garment. And you are, folks, to hate the works of darkness. We are to turn away from it. We are to cast them down, cast off that garment, and put on the garment that the Lord has commanded us to wear. That's what sanctification is. That's what perfection is. That's what holiness is. That's what putting on the works of Christ is. We need to constantly be putting on the works of Christ as we read the Word of God. And we know that there are stages of perfection even at the end. Revelation 19 and 7. Let us rejoice and be exceeding glad, and let us give the glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And if you'll notice, it says herself. You know, we have the authority of God to do this. Romans 8 and 13 again. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. You got to take the authority of God and the power of God's Spirit to do that. And if you don't cooperate, it ain't going to be done. So it's up to you to do what God has given you to do. He's given you the authority already. Revelation 19 and 8. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. We're putting on the garment of light. Truly, we're putting that on in the spirit realm. We're doing this because many people have already seen it. And if you'll notice that those who are bidden or invited to the marriage supper don't have the same garment. The bride has that garment. There's a difference between the bride and the virgins and between the bride and those bidden to the marriage supper. Revelation 19:9, he saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are bidden to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, you don't invite the bride, obviously. She's one of the ones doing the inviting. But there are people who will come to the marriage feast and won't be in the bride. The scriptures teaches us real plain that that happens. The virgins are not a part of the bride, contrary to popular thinking. But these people are also riding white horses to finish off the enemies of God. Verse 14, and the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and pure. There's that fine linen again, except this time the word is white, which is leukos, not lampros, or brilliant. It doesn't have the glory of the lampros garment. Glory is radiant, and this is leukos. They're invited, but they're not the bride. The bride is the sun glory. And God's plan is that he has given to us everything that we need to enter into sun glory. And a lot of people don't cooperate. Many don't accept the faith or the knowledge that's been given to them. They run after idols. They don't have time for God. They don't have time for his word to renew their mind. And so they sell themselves short. And since we're seeing that works have a lot to do, or everything to do with star, moon, and sun glory, there is a difference in reward. And as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, and we see it also in 2 Corinthians 4 and 17, for our light affliction, which is for the moment, works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. Glory. The glory is what we're talking about. This brilliance, this brightness, this sun glory that we're coming into. And the tribulations that we go through are to bring us into his glory. And we need to cooperate with that. God is going to send us plenty of people to help us. He's going to send us plenty of people to put us on our cross, right? We go through suffering for the purpose of Christ's life being manifested in us. And we need to cooperate with him in it, because this more eternal weight of glory only works while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, we call the things that are not as though they were, like it says in Romans 4 and 17. We look in the mirror, and we see Jesus, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. We accept our Son glory from the very beginning. Christ is the one who lives in us, and that's why we can look in the mirror and see Jesus. Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. That's a faith. That's looking not at the things which are seen, folks, but at the things which are not seen. And that you got to do, because it's faith that brings about this manifestation of the sun glory. Now let's go a little bit further down in 2 Corinthians to chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now listen, folks, he's fixing to tell us something here. Verse 2, for verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon, there's that clothing again, with our habitation which is from heaven. Did you know that God's doing that now? It is the glory of God in which we're dressing up the life of Christ. First our spirit, then our soul, and then our body. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. When your body dies, if you don't have this glory, you're going to be found naked. Verse 4, for indeed we that are in this tabernacle, meaning this fleshly body right here, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. In other words, we're not hankering to physically die, are we? But that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. What he's saying here is not that we would lose this body, but that we would be clothed upon while we have this body. Now, that's contrary to a lot of people's theology, but it's real plain here. He's saying it's not that we're looking for this body to pass away. We're looking for that glory before we lose this body. And if you'll notice that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. That life of Christ has to swallow you up. Verse 5, now he that wrought us for this very thing is God, who gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit, being therefore always of good courage, and knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 10, for we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The judgment seat is the Bema seat, and it means footprint tribunal. You're going to be judged by how closely you walked in the footprints of Christ. Okay? John says the same thing in 1 John 2 and 6. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. We will all have to go to the footprint tribunal of Christ. Now let's look at something about 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 from the numerics that proves what the original words were, because the translator's understanding got in the way here. God put a perfect pattern in every Greek word in the New Testament so that we'd know that. In the numerics it says that each may receive through the body according to what he hath done, whether good or bad. Meaning your works coming right back around full circle here. Your works are going to determine what kind of body you're going to get, because your works determine what glory that you're walking in. Your works determine how much of the glory of God you're walking in, whether you're star, moon, or sun glory. And if you'll notice, it says what he hath done, whether good or bad, and that's what's going to determine what kind of body you get. We see that there is a star glory body, a moon glory body, and a sun glory body. And we've seen what it takes to go from star glory to sun glory. And now we're seeing that our works are our fruit and our faith. And this is what everybody's going to be judged by. Everybody is going to be judged by their works. Nowhere does it say that he's going to judge your faith. In every instance, he says, you're going to be judged by your works. Revelation 2:23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. Jesus said he would render to every man according to his works. In Matthew 16:7, or 27, Proverbs 24 and 12. Always, everywhere, it says that God is going to render unto you according to your works. That's your spiritual works. Look at the parable of the servants and the talents that were given to them. Their judgment was according to their works. Look at the cities that people are going to rule over. Again, it's according to their works. Now, who is it that ends up not bearing the fruit? They that allow their garment that was given unto them in the beginning to be stained. They that walk in sin. What's going to happen to those people? And who are these people? Well, I'll point out one thing to you in Revelation 6 and 12. And I saw when he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became as blood. That's the persecution and the death of the saints. Verse 13, and the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth. If one star fell to the earth, there wouldn't be an earth. So it ain't talking about a physical star falling to the earth. It's talking about those who are sealed with Christ in heavenly places, the seed of Abraham. And this is meant to be a parable. And you destroy it if you make it natural. And the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth as a fig tree. And that represents God's people. The fig tree represents God's people. casts her unripe figs when she is shaken of a great wind. Now this is the fruit that God expects the fig tree to bear. Remember what Jesus said in the parable. Give it one more year, Father, then cut it down if it doesn't bear fruit. Well, here it is. It's being cut down right there. And some people out there say that's the angels. No, it ain't the angel. It's the unripe fruit of God's people. It's God's stars who have not progressed nor even held their own. The servant with the one talent hid his talent in the earth. He didn't bear any fruit. He didn't even save what he had. But look at what Revelation says about the dragon that's waiting for the woman. Before the woman. Revelation 12:4, and his tail draweth the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stands before the woman that is about to be delivered. That's talking about the seed of God's people. That's talking about the seed of Abraham that lose their position of being seated with Christ in the heavenly, and that's their reprobation. He said he was going to spew the lukewarm out of his mouth. And what he means is out of the body of Christ. Those that don't bear fruit to walk in the glory of God, to walk in progressive manifestation of sonship, to walk by faith so that their faith is accounted as righteousness, these people are ultimately going to fall away and go through that great and terrible day of the Lord. They'll go through the flood and they're going to be destroyed. And so that we see here that we have a certain amount of time, everybody, in order to bear the fruit, in order to walk in the steps of Jesus. And that when we are called before the Bema Seat, that's the footprint tribunal, we will receive through the body according to what we have done, whether good or bad. What's through the body mean? Well, how is God going to reward us through the body? He's going to give us a body accordingly, and suiting the work that we have done on the earth and the work that we're doing in the place of the fruit that we are at the time. We desire earnestly that his fruit be in us so that we can be that sun glory, which is 100-fold. And people out there saying that ain't possible. Well, it ain't up to us. It's up to God. He's the one who fulfills it for all those who walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're looking, so we're looking at the eternal life of Christ that was given to us at the cross. We don't live anymore. He lives in us, folks. That's sun glory. Accept that gift. It's a free gift. Walk in it, and God will empower you to bring it to pass. And he will. God bless you. I'm out of time. We'll see you next time, God willing.